Scott and his final team of five arrived at the South Pole in January 1912 to find they had been beaten to it by a Norwegian team led by Roald Amundsen, who rode on dog sled. Scott's team ended up on foot. And for more than a century, this journey has remained unfinished. Scott's team of five died on the return journey. And for the last decade, I've been asking myself why that is. How come this has remained the high watermark? Scott's team covered 1,600 miles on foot. No one's come close to that ever since. So this is the high watermark of human endurance, human endeavor, human athletic achievement in arguably the harshest climate on Earth. It was as if the marathon record has remained unbroken since 1912. And of course, some strange and predictable combination of curiosity, stubbornness, and probably hubris led me to thinking I might be the man to try and finish the job. Unlike Scott's expedition, there were just two of us, and we set off from the coast of Antarctica in October last year, dragging everything ourselves, a process Scott called man-hauling. And when I say it was like walking from here to San Francisco and back, I actually mean it was like dragging something that weighs a shade more than the heaviest ever NFL player. Our sledges weighed 200 kilos or 440 pounds each at the start, the same weights that the weakest of Scott's ponies pulled. Early on, we averaged 0.5 miles per hour. Perhaps the reason no one had attempted this journey until now, in more than a century, was that no one had been quite stupid enough to try. And while I can't claim we were exploring in the genuine Edwardian sense of the word, we weren't naming any mountains or mapping any uncharted valleys, I think we were stepping into uncharted territory in a human sense. Certainly, if in the future we learn there is an area of the human brain that lights up when one curses oneself, I won't be at all surprised. You've heard that the average American spends 90% of their time indoors. We didn't go indoors for nearly 4 months. We didn't see a sunset either. It was 24-hour daylight. Living conditions were quite Spartan. I changed my underwear 3 times in 105 days. And Tarka and I shared 30 square feet under canvas. Though we did have some technology that Scott could never have imagined. And we blogged live every evening from the tent via a laptop and a custom-made satellite transmitter, all of which were solar-powered. We had a flexible photovoltaic panel over the tent. And the writing was important to me. As a kid, I was inspired by the literature of adventure and exploration. And I think we've all seen here this week the importance and the power of storytelling. So we had some 21st century gear, but the reality is that the challenges that Scott faced were the same that we faced, those of the weather and of what Scott called glide, the amount of friction between the sledges and the snow. The lowest wind chill we experienced was in the minus 70s, and we had zero visibility, what's called whiteout, for much of our journey. We traveled up and down one of the largest and most dangerous glaciers in the world, the Beardmore Glacier. It's 110 miles long. Most of its surface is what's called blue ice. You can see it's a beautiful, shimmering, steel-hard blue surface covered with thousands and thousands of crevasses, these deep cracks in the glacial ice, up to 200 feet deep. Planes can't land here, so we were at the most risk, technically, when we had the slimmest chance of being rescued. We got to the South Pole after 61 days on foot, with 1 day off through bad weather. And I'm sad to say it was something of an anticlimax. There's a permanent American base, the Amundsen-Scott South Pole Station, at the South Pole.